This is my first video update coming to you from Nicosia, Cyprus on this Monday morning. Let's talk about some news and let's talk about some of the missile drone activity that took place in Ukraine from the Russian military, but also from the Ukrainian military. So over the past couple of days, unfortunately, over New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, we had a lot of missile and drone activity from both sides in Ukraine. And so let's start things off with the Russian military and what's going on there. And so over the past 4 days, 4 or 5 days in a row, the Russian military has been hitting Ukraine's energy infrastructure. And I don't know if you can see the helicopter landing right there in the distance. There's actually a police station over there. That's why the helicopter is landing in that direction. Anyway, the Russian military, they've been hitting at the energy and the electric infrastructure of Ukraine for like the past 5 days in a row. And they've been using a combination of missiles and drones. And yesterday as well, they sent out a bunch of drones. They hit Ukraine's electric grid. Most notably, they took out the electricity in Kiev and Dnipropetrovsk, did a lot of damage in those two cities. But yesterday, they also targeted, actually over the past 2 days, they've been targeting Ukrainian military facilities, military bases. And one base in particular, they did a lot of damage, and that is the base of Special Operation Forces in Khmelnytsky. And you're talking about a military unit of elite Ukrainian Special Forces that was hit by a rocket. The 8th SSO Regiment from Khmelnytsky is considered the best Special Forces unit in Ukraine, and we do not have any data yet as to the damage that was done. So that has been what the Russian military has been doing over the past 5 days. You're not really hearing a lot of talk this time around, or at least over the past, say, 3 days. You're not hearing a lot of talk of the number of missiles or drones or stuff like that and how successful the Ukraine air defense was with regards to the missiles that have been launched over the past, say, 2 to 3 days. It's just kind of not been part of the Zelensky regime narrative this time around. They talked about the success of air defense systems like 5 days ago when the Russians sent 120 Kalibr missiles into Ukraine, and they talked about the success rate of the alleged success rate of the Ukrainian air defense during during that strike. But the last 3 days, no mention of air defense and the success rate there. So it wasn't only the Russian military that was hitting out at Kiev. The Ukraine military, actually, they sent HIMAR missiles into Donetsk. And this is where it gets a little sketchy. I am getting reports from Russian Telegram channels that these HIMAR missiles managed to hit a school where Russian military was staying, and it was a successful strike. The HIMARS hit their target. It was on New Year's Eve. The Ukraine military used MLRS to shell a local vocational school where Russian military personnel were stationed. There are photos and videos of the damage that has been done, though we don't have an exact count of casualties in this event either. I've heard numbers ranging from 8 to 50, and there's a lot of discussion now from the Russian side of things, the Russian Telegram channels at least. The analysts are talking about how the Russian command could let this happen, how they could let Russian military personnel stay in this school, which is so close to the front line, or actually so close to the line of fire from Ukraine, HIMARS. And how come the military personnel wasn't staying further away, out of the distance of the HIMARS missiles? Anyway, the interesting part about this story is that I took a look on RT, and they are reporting that 15 civilians were injured in this attack, which took place in the town of Makiivka, a satellite of Donetsk, located immediately to the northeast of the city. And the town has been repeatedly targeted with various weaponry over the past 24-hour period, according to local authorities. RT is kind of reporting this as, they're not really reporting this as a strike on military personnel. They're saying that the Ukrainian military was targeting civilians in this strike. But I don't buy that. I'm getting a lot of reports from a lot of various Telegram channels which are reporting that this was indeed a strike on an area where Russian military were staying. Anyway, that is the news from Ukraine in what has been a very active past couple of days from a military standpoint, at least from a missile drone standpoint. And let's do a couple of more stories and we'll wrap this video up. And let's talk about Hungary and Ukraine. They are in quite a row, quite a big fight going on between Hungary and Ukraine. And the Financial Times is reporting on this story, and they're calling it bad blood between Hungary and Ukraine. And it is undermining the EU's unity on Russia. The byline reads, Budapest's energy dependence on Moscow and mistrust of Kiev complicate the bloc's approach to the conflict. And the Financial Times is saying that Hungary is at war with Ukraine over the infringement of ethnic Hungarian rights, which undermine EU unity against Russia. And basically the Financial Times is villainizing Viktor Orban in Hungary for its position, which has remained since the beginning of this special military operation, this conflict, which has remained to be neutral, pragmatic, and rational. That has been Hungary's position since the beginning of this conflict, and Hungary has been the only country in the European Union, one of the only countries in the European Union, definitely the only vocal country, that has noted that sanctions are not working, sanctions are not the right approach. And what the EU should be doing, instead of villainizing and demonizing Russia and placing 9 sanction packages against Russia, what the European Union should be doing is trying to find a peace in this conflict. And for this position, for this stance, Hungary is being demonized by the collective West and by Ukraine as well. The foreign minister of Ukraine, Dmitry Kaluba, actually came out with some statements couple of days ago, saying that Hungary and Viktor Orban are pretty much puppets of Russia and Putin, and they're doing the bidding of the Kremlin. There is some issues with the way Ukraine has treated so many helicopters. I wonder why. So many helicopters. Anyway, there are some issues with the way the Zelensky regime has treated ethnic Hungarians in the west of Ukraine. And actually, like 3-4 months ago, the Zelensky regime took down a statue, which was in honor of Hungary and Hungarian history. I believe it was like a statue of, and I could be wrong about this, of a falcon or an eagle. And this was taken down by the Zelensky regime. And the Zelensky regime has also taken issue with Hungarians living in Ukraine and the use of the Hungarian language and their culture and their custom. It's not only the Russian language and the Russian culture that the Zelensky regime and the Ukrainian extremists, the Bandera extremists, who, by the way, I believe it was actually Western Ukraine, actually all of Ukraine, was celebrating Bandera's birthday or something like that yesterday or a couple of days ago. A pretty disgusting thing, to be quite honest, but they were actually celebrating it. Anyway, it's not only the Russian culture and identity and language that are being shut down in Ukraine. It is also the Hungarian culture and language, as well as the ethnic Romanian culture that lives in Ukraine. They're also having their rights stripped away, and they have had their rights stripped away. And this is not something that started during the special military operation during the conflict in Ukraine, when Russia went into Ukraine. This has actually been going on for a couple of years now. So there is a very tangible issue here that Hungary has with Ukraine, and that is the fact that the Poroshenko regime and then the Zelensky regime has been treating Hungarians very, very poorly, as they have been treating the Russians very poorly in regions where you have a large Hungarian community in Western Ukraine, and the same for Romanians. They've been doing the same to the Romanian communities in Western Ukraine. So Viktor Orban's beef with Ukraine actually has merit, without a doubt. He's in the right here. And he's been saying for many years that the Hungarian people that are living in Western Ukraine need to have their human rights respected. Anyway, the Financial Times, they are pointing this out. Of course, they're trying to put most of the blame on Viktor Orban in Hungary. I don't think this is going to change in 2023. The more Hungary asserts its sovereignty, the more the European Union and the collective West mainstream media will demonize Hungary for doing just that, for asserting its sovereignty, and for actually suggesting pragmatic, rational solutions to the problems in Ukraine and in Europe. But you have Hungary on one side, which is rational, sensible leadership, and then you have Ursula von der Crazy on the other side. So, you know, obviously these two forces are not going to be able to reconcile. Croatia is entering the Eurozone. They're going to be using the euro currency in 2023, and there was a big celebration where Van der Crazy actually, from what I understand, she attended a joint press conference at the Bregana crossing, where Van der Crazy praised the two immense achievements for the EU's newest member, which were reached on the same day, and that is basically that Croatia is now going to be using the euro currency, and they're going to be opening up their border as well. I believe that means that they've entered the Schengen, if I'm not mistaken. I believe that is what's going on Sunday. The Balkan country bid farewell to its kuna currency and became the 20th member of the Eurozone. It is also now the 27th country in the passport-free Schengen zone, the world's largest, which enables more than 400 million people to move freely around its members. It's the season of new beginnings, and there is no place in Europe where this is more true than here in Croatia, tweeted EU chief Ursula von der Leyen as she arrived in Croatia to mark the occasion. And Russia's economy is in tatters. Croatia, welcome to the Schengen zone and welcome to the Eurozone. And Russia's economy is in tatters, I tell you. So yeah, I don't know if I should be saying congratulations to Croatia or if I should be saying, what are you doing? What have you done? Oh boy. Anyway, time will tell if this was a smart decision from Croatia or if this was perhaps the worst decision Croatia could ever possibly make in its history. Time will tell. Whew, getting into the euro currency, oh boy. You have just forfeited all of your financial sovereignty to Ursula and Borrell and Lagarde. Oh my God, Christine Lagarde. Oh boy. Oh boy. You've given up all of your financial sovereignty. As far as the Schengen goes and traveling around Europe, that was nice back when it really was kind of free and open to travel around Europe. But now the Schengen like travel zone has become kind of useless to a certain extent, because you have so many restrictions and checkpoints, and they have now the electronic identification stuff where they're monitoring you coming in. So I don't know. I think the Schengen really doesn't have much of a purpose. It's still there. I can see the benefits, but it's not what it used to be, where you could just get off the plane and just, you know, you could just travel within Europe and there was no checking up on things. But anyway, the Eurozone, that's the big one for Croatia, giving up their financial sovereignty to Lagarde and the ECB and to Van der Crazy and the European Commission. It basically means that now Croatia really can't do much of anything as far as policy goes. I mean, it can manage its domestic affairs to a certain extent, but any other type of policy, it's stuck, because basically what the European Union can do now is if Croatia strays from the line that the European Union takes on certain issues, Ukraine, Russia, whatever comes down the pipe in 2023, if Croatia takes a different view of things from the European Union, well then the EU is just going to pull out the euro card. And what does that mean? It means Croatia, you're going to vote the way we want you to vote, and you're going to do what we want you to do, or else we're going to stop supplying you with euros. That's the ultimate power now that the EU has over Croatia, and it is a huge power. It's the reason why a country like Hungary and Viktor Orban can take a sovereign approach to things, and he could say, I don't agree with your approach with Ukraine and Russia. I disagree, and I'm going to continue to try and find a way to work with Russia to import Russian oil or gas, and to try and figure out a way to negotiate a settlement. And Hungary and Viktor Orban can do this because they're not using the euro currency. Believe me, if Hungary was using the euro currency, they would be in full lockstep with the European Union on all the things that they're doing with regards to Russia and sanctions and weapons to Ukraine and NATO, all that stuff. Hungary would be fully on board, because what von der Crazy would tell Orban is, if you don't vote this way, no euros for you, period. And, you know, the Hungarian economy, any economy, would shut down, obviously. That's what they did to Cyprus. It's what they did to Greece. It's what they always do. If they control the currency, they use it as the ultimate weapon. And boy, do they use it. They are not shy about using the euro currency weapon and the power of the European Central Bank. Anyway, I think I will wrap it up for this video. I do have a clown world, and this clown world is, this is a good clown world. Actually, this is my first clown world of 2023, and it is coming courtesy of Denmark. Let me sit down here, because I'm gonna have to read here from this article that was sent to me from a community member on my Telegram channel, and it is a good one. Boy, is it a good one. All right, I put it in Google Translate, so as I'm reading, it may be a little bumpy here and there, but I think you're gonna get to the picture from this clown world. From Denmark, it says, the Defense Intelligence Service believes illness has affected Putin's decision. The Defense Intelligence Service is now breathing life to the rumors of Putin's ill health. When Russian President Putin decided to initiate the invasion of Ukraine, he was influenced by a kind of cancer drug whose side effects include some form of madness. Madness is one of the known side effects of a hormone therapy that Putin received. This is one of several considerations that an anonymous head of Russia's analysis in the Defense Intelligence Service, the FE, has told Berlingske. The FE chief only contributes to the article with his first name, Joachim. It is not something I can say for sure, but I think it affected his decisions as he entered the war in Ukraine. Later in the interview with Berlinske, the FE chief says that President Putin also had a so-called moon face at the beginning of the year when the war broke out, and that it is a known side effect of the hormone therapy. Defense Intelligence Service has confirmed the FE chief's statements to TV2. The statements made by the FE chief are a very valuable entry in Denmark's knowledge database, says Niels Bo Poulsen, military historian and the head of the Institute of Strategy and War Studies at the Defense Academy, to TV2. Wow. FE has the expertise and resources to collect data that neither researchers nor journalists can obtain and can put it into context. When they make the same considerations as a number of journalists and experts also do, they help validate some of the considerations that are already flourishing, he says. FE has not just guessed across the lunch table. Rumors of 70-year-old Vladimir Putin's health flourished even before the start of the war, but since February 24th, they have escalated. Putin is sick with cancer, he has dementia and Parkinson's disease, and also has a chronic back injury. And one must believe the rumors that live on the internet. One must believe the rumors that live on the internet. Keep in mind, this is Google Translate. I'll put a link to the original article. So people living in Denmark, let me know if the translate did a good job here in describing what is going on. But I love this line. Putin is, okay, he's sick with cancer, dementia, Parkinson's, and he also has a chronic back injury. And he also has a back problem. He has all these other things, like all these terrible life-threatening diseases. And it's all the... He's all drugged up, and that's why he made the decision to go into Ukraine. It was a cocktail of all of these therapies, and that's what drove him to make the decision to go into Ukraine, according to these experts. And he also has back problems. He also has a back problem, and you know, that damn lower back problem. He woke up one morning, Putin woke up one morning, and his back was hurting him. And he says, that's it. That is it. I'm going in. Shoigu, go in. I'm giving you the green light. Ay. So are we going to get, in 2023, are we going to get the Putin is sick story resurrected? Who knows? I don't know what Putin's health is. I have no clue. Maybe he is sick. Maybe he isn't sick. I don't know. All I can tell you is that over the past month, he has been nonstop. I mean, like, event after event, speech after speech, traveling from here to there. I mean, it's been, I can't keep up with him. I'm reporting the news as to what's going on, and I can't keep up with his activity and the statements he's been making, the events he's been going to. Who knows? This is a story that I'm sure we're going to have many clown worlds over. And this time it is coming from Denmark, and from two sources in Denmark, military and intelligence, it seems. So anyway, that is the clown world, everybody. I will end it there, theduran.locals.com. We are also on Rockfin as well. Go to the Duran shop. I am wearing my favorite Japan hoodie, and 10% off, use the code GOODDAY. Coming to you from Nicosia, Cyprus. Take care.